each of you and ask an interest in your prayers. Like I said last week, I wanted you to be thinking about our study of the Psalms. We've come to the place where we've covered all the Psalms, and we didn't start out in order, and that's why we ended up going back and getting the ones that we had skipped in the process. But can you believe that we've spent 4 years going through the Psalms? I was looking at my notes and the dates that I could see, and I couldn't believe it when I looked at the oldest. It's on my computer, and I did a sort by date range and then looked at it, and then I had to check a few more, but it was October 2010 when the first few we started. I'm sure there have been times when we've done something else along the way, but over the last 4 years. I'm interested in anything that you might want to share in the way of what maybe something new that you realized as we went through the Psalms, or something that was particularly special to you. To pick out a favorite psalm might be hard to do. But anybody that wants to share anything before we get started with what I've got on the notes tonight? And since if you want to come up to the microphone, feel free, since if you want to take the time to say something, I'm sure folks want to hear you. So, Brother Ken?
Still had the courage to stand up, and had the confidence in God. I wish I could have that confidence and that courage in my life. I know David's a sinner, or he was a sinner, we're all sinners. Like Paul said, he's the chief of sinners. So many times, I mean, it's just a small thing. Somebody be saying something about God, you could say something about that. You shy away. Or you pretend like you don't see it. You see somebody at the dinner table, and they're giving thanks, and you simply just shove them food in your face, and you think, I didn't do that.
It is. Okay. And I wonder if that's part of why the Lord put these in the scriptures for us, to teach us that lesson.
Well, as we get older, we get closer to the Lord anyway, as in our life, because when I was younger, I felt like sometimes I had the world by the tail, or it had me by the tail, but I mean, I thought I was doing good, but now I realize I could have done a lot better if I had did what I was supposed to do and let the Lord do what he was supposed to do, my life would have been a whole lot better. But I mean, that's just part of growing up.
Yeah.
And as we grow older, I think we need to get closer to the Lord as we grow older, because we need him more. I mean,
right.
I mean, that's my experience. I need the Lord more today than I've ever needed him in my life. And I mean, I just got to have it. I mean, I can't say nothing else.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Over there?
I'd have to say one of my favorite things about the Psalms as a whole is it's not like a lot of other books where it necessarily tells one big story.
Right.
You can, in one chapter, be uplifted by the word in a way that it makes you feel good about yourself, and it makes you feel like you're just a great person. And then in the next chapter, it convicts you and it tells you that you're just a sinner like everyone else, and that you're nothing big, you're nothing strong. But then it moves to the next chapter and it tells you about how no matter what, God's got your back, and he's watching over you. And that's one of the things that really, being able to have these notes and take them home and go over them and look back for what we talked about, that's another good thing. It's like the CDs, you can sit down and learn more than you did just sitting here, listening and reading along. It's just a great thing.
And that's a fact. We're not as good a listener as we think we are. We don't catch it all the first time. So I encourage that. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Just Leslie?
As a whole, it's been very beneficial to me going over the whole book, because, like Kenneth said, I could sit there and read it, but I don't necessarily comprehend the meaning behind. And so it's been wonderful to have you expound what has been revealed to you about this scripture and what it means. That has really helped me a lot. There are three Psalms specifically that have just, it's almost like it's magnified. 63, 86, and 40. And when I saw that song tonight, I said, I was just reading that. So that was a real blessing to me. But those three specifically stand out to me, because that's what I need the most right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I wish we could go through every book like this.
Maybe we can. Well, that'd be all right too. Pardon? Oh yeah. Well.
Okay.
Anyone else? Nancy?
What amazes me about the psalm itself is the fact that there's so many emotions. They're full of grace, mercy, chastisement, love. It's just that one book in itself that just kind of covers all of, you know, our need and strength and our prayers being answered and our weakness and God's strength, our need of mercy, God's grace. Those things really, to me, just have kind of just jumped out at that, and the fact that there were several times while we were going through the Psalms that the Lord would use that psalm to calm my spirit. Timothy's out of the country psalm, and was, of course, I was concerned. But it seemed like at that time, the psalm that you would be preaching on would be about strength and courage and trusting in the Lord and faith and having that faith and confidence that Kenneth was talking about. But it encouraged me through that time, that period of time where Timothy wasn't here and we were concerned at times we didn't. I can't remember which psalm it was, but that one time we had done communication with him for a few days, and the psalm that you spoke on, I can't remember the number, like I said, but it was one of those psalms that just really drove home trusting confidence, trusting with confidence, and knowing that the Lord is able. And it came at a time when I needed it the most.
Okay.
It would be hard to pick a favorite.
Okay. Roger?
I hadn't realized it'd been 3 years, but I've only been around for four years, rather, so I've been the first 3 years, so I thoroughly enjoyed the time I did spend, and the outlining and everything and the discussion is great. But the biggest thing, I think, I agree with everything that's been said. I've received a great blessing from it, but the biggest difference it made to me going over it like this was I was looking at it personally too, how it fits in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you just read it and it was just an event in his life, but now it's an event in our lives, and how it relates to us. And that was the biggest effect it had on me, as far as, this lesson's good today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good in our life, and some of these things we've gone through, and others we'll probably have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So. Like you're talking about, just that confidence of going to him, and the confidence that he'll do what he says, and the confidence that he'll be there for you. So it's just part of his amazing grace, I guess.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Anyone else? Brother Royce?
I'd like to say that before I ever joined the church, I was going with my mother to Southern Baptist Church, and I couldn't agree with all their teachings. And I found great comfort in the Psalms.
Even then?
One of the most favorite was the 37th Psalm. It just really calmed my mind about everything. It said, "Fret not thyself, because of evildoers, they shall be cut off, and withers the grass, and so forth." And then just read that 37th Psalm, a few verses.
You want me to read it?
Yes.
All right. Okay. How much of it you want? It's pretty long.
Just about 8 verses, I
think. All right. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
That's just a good admonition.
Amen. Amen.
And also, I'd like to add to this, in all my readings of the song, the 136th song seemed like it had to be a song.
Oh, give thanks.
Oh, give thanks
to
the Lord.
He was up at 4 o'clock in the morning, right?
That was another.
Yeah, well, it already is.
It's a song, and I just want to sit down and work at it, work with it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get some more.
Maybe so.
All right. I appreciate you having these.
All right. Another verse in that 37th Psalm is, I have been young. Now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There's another one for your confidence, isn't it? Oh, we can just keep going on and on. Anybody else? Anyone else? Well, I appreciate you giving that input. And several of you have touched on, well, everything you've said is just right on the mark, because this is life. And I appreciate what was said about the fact that it's meaningful today. That's the way God put his word together. to feed our souls every day we live. There's nothing that's ever going to happen that God hasn't already provided for. This word is there to feed our souls every day we live. The more we avail ourselves to it, the more we'll enjoy it. Okay. Now, anybody else have anything you want to say before we... So it truly is a remarkable book, isn't it? Now, I'm thankful that the Lord put it on our heart to go through these. And the way things work out, I didn't plan the order. But there's been a lot of times when that particular message was very applicable. And so I just thank the Lord for that. And you thank the Lord for that. And whatever we study after this, then we just ask the Lord to guide us, and to Him be the glory. But it is a remarkable book. Brother Aaron had said, you know, it's not like a historical survey, but experiences, and like I said, it's life.
Different it's every day.
Yeah, and that's the way life is, isn't it?
That's right.
Mixtures of joy and sorrow. Okay, so even though I'm going to start looking at some of the notes now, but remarkable book. Not all of it was written by David. You know, Psalm 90. There's a prayer of Moses. So not all of it was written by David, but I'm satisfied that David sang all of these psalms. You know, they were available to him, and so he had some, and he wrote a lot of them himself. But all of them were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so that Spirit of truth, even though it was Old Testament days, that Spirit of truth knew perfectly the will of God, being God, And so whatever it gave us then is still just as much the truth today as it ever has been. So unlike any other book, we can turn to the Bible and read and be blessed by it. So it, as it has been mentioned tonight, it runs the gamut of human emotions, from mountaintops of praise to valleys of tears. I don't know if I made a mention of this in the psalm, but I remember Psalm 88. I think when we covered that one, we made mention of the fact that that's one psalm where you're in the depths of despair in the beginning of it, and at the end of it, you're still there. You know, you like, we're in this habit of getting to the end, and it has to say, and everybody lived happily ever after, but that's not life sometimes, is it? And that Psalm 88 teaches us that there's times when we're down, and the Lord is our only, makes us realize, Lord's our only help and our only hope, but we're not out of the valley yet. And so it feeds our soul anyway. Many of the Psalms that we've covered shows us that it contains many warnings of the wiles of Satan and the ways of wicked men. You know, Proverbs has quite a lot to say about the wise and the foolish. But in Psalms, quite often, it's the contrast between the wicked and the righteous. And so we've just had countless occasion for David in the Psalms to point out the ways of wicked men, maybe even the devices of Satan that are causing those to do what they do, but the righteous, how we should live our lives as the righteous. Helps us to identify many types of enemies and also how we should pray accordingly. You know, sometimes when you read those Psalms, and David's pretty hard on those enemies, aren't he? Isn't he? Put it that way. Armies. Okay. He's hard on them. But when you've got in view the righteousness of God and His honor, and you see those that are doing wickedly and have not the love of God in their heart, and you see and you know God's going to judge them. So oftentimes when we've read those things that David has had to say about them, we just have to understand he's telling us what God's going to do. After all, this is both the Old and the New Testament is telling us that David is a man after God's own heart. And so quite often we see the heart of David being revealed in these Psalms, and we certainly see God's heart. Now, as we already said tonight, we know David was a sinner, and so we're not going to charge God with those things, but certainly we see his heart oftentimes was with the Lord. Many ways Psalms help us remember to hate evil just as God hates it. You know, you wouldn't think we need to be reminded of that, but we do. We get calloused. We see so much, and we hear so much in this world. We need to keep coming back to the Word of God, to that perfect standard of God, and to keep ourselves anchored right there. The world is so accepting of so many things, but God's not going to change. Not going to change. His truth remains forever. If he hates it in the Old Testament, he hates it in the New. That's the way it's going to be. Several of you mentioned how that the many reminders of our need and his cares, we pass through those valleys. How wonderful that we can grow in our own confidence based on our own experiences, that God has been with us in the past And we can trust that he'll be with us in the future. How wonderful. And we've seen many occasions of that, haven't we? We've seen prophecies of the Lord Jesus. You know, as we, Psalm 22, that's the first one that comes to mind. Psalm 22, verse 1, remember, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let's see, that's Old Testament. But where did that happen? Where did we hear those words again? The cross. Was Jesus quoting David? Now, you were listening, weren't you? Jesus wasn't quoting David. The Lord's what gave David the prophecy of what Jesus would say. That just changes it all together, doesn't it? Anybody could read the Old Testament and remember some of it and say some of it later. Bless your hearts. And we get glimpses in the Word of God of what God's going to do in saving his people from their sins. And the very words that our Lord and Savior spoke upon the cross, he recorded them 700 years before it ever came to pass. God can do that, can't he? He's the one that declares the end for the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God can do that. And I tell you, you need to read about how he's done that and take note of it, because it instills confidence in us in a God that can speak 700 years into the future, or thousands of years into the future. And it comes to pass just exactly the way he said it would. I tell you, that instills confidence in our God and his ability. And there's other prophecies. Psalm 110, I'm not going to try to cover all the prophecies, but a couple of things that come to mind. Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's quoted to us in the New Testament, Matthew 22. That's quoted to us when Jesus asked them, why did David say that? You know, whose son is, you know, whose son is he? Question, Jesus put that there, quoting from David. Those Pharisees and lawyers, they knew the Old Testament. They knew where that came from, but they couldn't answer the question. All right? As far as whose son was he? They said son, David's son. Okay? Bless your hearts. We understand that in his humanity, he's the son of David. But in his deity, he's the son of God. And there's other passages. While it touches all aspects of the Christian experience, the most notable, enjoyable, and memorable feature of the Psalms is the copious, the many exhortations to praise and thanksgiving. Isn't that the first thing you think about when you think about the Psalms? Praise and thanksgiving. And thank the Lord it's there. You know, and that's, again, that's life. You know, there's times when we're praising the Lord, and there's times when we're down in the valley. But he's the same Lord on the mountain that he is in the valley. And thankfully, he's the same in the valley that he is on the mountain. He doesn't change. And we can depend upon him. And so we have many, many occasions where we can read the Psalms and praise his holy name. We're frequently exhorted to praise God. I won't take the time to try to go through these, but Psalm 107, wonderful passage that speaks of praising God. I believe several times, three, maybe four times in that psalm, it says, oh, that men would praise him for his wonderful works. I didn't get that exactly right, but well, let's see. Let me turn to it. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's something to praise him for when we understand what works he's done for us. And so as you go through Psalm 107, three or four times, you find that refrain. All right? So not only his exhortation to praise God, but also for his mercy. Brother Royce mentioned Psalm 136. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Every verse, it seems almost, every verse, his mercy endureth forever. Boy, what a thought that is. You know, in our experience, and several people mentioned the fact that there's times we get down, there's times we make mistakes, there's times that we, like David, we get in trouble somehow. Thankfully, God's mercy endures forever. Oh, what a blessing. Psalm 103, 104, 105 speaks of his glorious works. Wonderful psalms. His glory, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19. Many of them speak of his holy attributes and perfections. Then deep reverence. Psalm 119. Took us a while to get through that one, didn't it? 176 verses. 22 sections of 8 verses each. Every one of those verses speaking somehow about the Word of God. Now that was that's unique, isn't it? I mean, in the construction of it, the way that there was a section for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse in each section would begin with that letter. Amazing. And it's commonly thought that it took David a while to compose that. But it, you know, it wasn't unique to the Bible. There was other poets I've read in history that was a poetical form. So, but an interesting thing that he would include that in the Bible. But even so, and even all the construction and whatever, how it speaks to us. Remember Psalm 119, 11? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Just so many verses. So many. We're not going to try to rehearse all the Psalms, but just kind of hitting some points to remember. That Psalm 119 is special. Taught us about our shepherd. Did you love that one? The Lord is my shepherd. Boy, many times we thought about that one. Our hiding place, our refuge, our deliverer. We're taught that he's the one who reached down to us and brought salvation. We sang about that from Psalm 40. Lifted me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, put a new song in my mouth, even praise. God has to do that, doesn't he? Thank the Lord he has. And he does. As far as being born again, as far as being called out of darkness into his marvelous light, he only has to do that once. But in our experience, he does it many times, doesn't he? Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. So once we know these things, then as we go back and revisit the Psalms, and I've got a few minutes left here. I originally had thought about spending the whole time on Psalm 1, but I like what we've done here. But as you go back and revisit now, when you read the Psalms, having spent so much time as we have in going through and closely examining it, when you read the Psalms now, I dare say you read them a little differently. Because you've got experience from all the other Psalms. And it's no longer just some 8 verses or 17 verses or whatever that speaks of some of the experiences. You've got the whole body of the Psalms. You've gotten a flavor now. Not that we understand every verse, but you've gotten a flavor and a feel for the body of the Psalms. Perhaps now when you read a psalm, you know that David talked about that a lot. Rather than just one psalm now and not having knowledge of the others, we can read and we can encounter thoughts and experiences of David and said, you know, this means something because David experienced that many, many times. And I dare say that's why some of these psalms register with you more than others, because it speaks to your experience. And that makes it all real, doesn't it? I know that's right. I've been through that. I know what that's like. And God gave us some of that so that He knows. So that we know that He knows what it's like to go through these experiences. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He had no sin about him, but he was in all points tempted like we are. I remember Elder Sonny Pyle one time saying his granddaughter asked him a question that, you know, when your little ones ask questions, they're so honest and sincere and they want to know, and they can ask some hard questions, can't they? And his little granddaughter one time asked him, why did Jesus have to suffer? You ever thought about that? You might remember the story. Why did Jesus have to suffer? And Brother Sonny thought about that a while, and he finally gave her this answer. He had to suffer so that we would know that He knows what it's like to suffer. We got a song in our hymn book, Does Jesus Care? Does He care? Oh, yes, He cares. Poet said, I know He cares. He does. He cares for us when we're not even thinking about Him.
That's a good thing, though.
That's right.
That's a good thing.
We can rejoice in that, can't we?
Yes, sir.
All right, so Psalm 1, real quick. Psalm 1. Having a background now for the rest of the Psalms. I want us to think about this Psalm, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but think about this Psalm in relation to all that we've read David saying in other Psalms. Experiences that he went through. Why did the Spirit lead David to say these things for us? Blessed is the man. And by the way, this is the first psalm of all of the psalms that we've gone through. The 150 psalms, plus the Psalm 19 being 22 sections of 8 verses. Here's how it starts. And it's a wonderful start. Because it gives us some guidance for all of life. I don't care what you experience. This is good counsel for the rest of your life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many times in the Psalms did we encounter counsel of the ungodly? But we're blessed if we don't walk according to that. We don't need to pay attention to that. We got enough of problems of our own without taking up something somebody else is trying to lead us astray in. Blessed is a man that, and notice the progression. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Imagine, if you will, those scornfuls sitting there, taking counsel one of another, planning their evil deeds. And you're walking along there and you hear what they're saying. Now, the best thing we could do is just keep walking. But what if somebody heard that and kind of walks up there and stops and starts listening? And then after listening for a while, decides, well, he's going to take a seat right there with them. See the progression? See how people can get drawn into evil things? Be better off, keep walking. Don't give any attention to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand around, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Who would do that? If you love the Lord, if you love His ways, that's not a place for you. Here's the place for you. Verse 2. But His delight. Get that word, delight. Not just agreeable. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. This is the blessed man. Thinking about the Lord, His word. Why is he thinking about it? So he can understand it, so he can apply it in his life. And not walk according to the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. We don't want to do that. God's word will keep us from that. But we need to think about it. We need to meditate on it. We need to see how it applies to life. I was so encouraged tonight when I heard so many people talk about how this is just so applicable to life. The whole book. The whole Bible is, but some of it's harder to understand than others. We understand something about an enemy. We understand about running from an enemy. We understand about needing the Lord. It's just so applicable, isn't it? All right, so... The Psalm 1 man, the godly, the blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Now, what's the benefit of that? What good is it going to do him to spend so much time thinking about the Lord and thinking about His word? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Think about that now. A tree planted by the rivers of water. The refreshing that that tree is going to need. He doesn't just get a shower of rain every now and then. He's got a river of water right there. So do we. God is there for us. A river of refreshing to nourish us and to strengthen us in whatever we're facing at the moment. Think about that tree. You know, it's planted, so it's going to be right there. And there are going to be times when the weather, the wind is going to blow against it. The rain's going to beat down upon it. But it's planted. It's strong. It's stable. That's how it is for those. Not say we don't have problems. That tree has to withstand the winds, doesn't it? It has to withstand the storms. But he's planted. Bless your hearts, we're planted in the Lord. We're trusting, our confidence is in him. Then we've got the strength that we need. All right? So he's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither. How's that? How can that be? Because there's a river of water there. There's a source of refreshing. We get withered sometimes, don't we? But if we can remember the Lord and his mercy and his goodness and his provisions and his grace, we can perk up, can't we? Now, I mean, that's a simplistic description, and life is hard and difficult at times, but the principle is still there. Hold on to the Lord. He is our refreshing in times of trial. Leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is, when we're planted in the Lord, when he's our source of refreshing, when we're constantly looking to his word and trying to understand how we're to live our life, then we'll be blessed. Not saying you're not going to have problems. We know that's not the case. But you've got help in your problems. The ungodly are not so. They're not planted by the river of water. They're not thinking about the word of God. They're not trying to follow the word of God. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Dried, parched, unattached, driven by the wind. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So if we understand that the way of the ungodly shall perish, but the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and bless your hearts, that ought to encourage us to think more upon his word. Lay it to heart. Beg him for understanding. Try to follow it as best we can. That's the best path for the most help and the most peace and the most joy we could ever experience in this life. Psalm 1. That's how the psalm began. When we can think about the other psalms in connection to reading that first psalm, it makes it richer, doesn't it? Helps us to understand that when he mentions some of these things, it's going to be mentioned a whole lot more, because that's the way life is. Now, zoom ahead. Time's about gone, but zoom ahead to the end of the Psalms. And those last several Psalms are nothing more than praise, praise, praise. I mean, it's on the mountaintop, isn't it? Praise. Psalm 148. When they first came out with that little hymnal, and that song in there that is... Well, it's now in our number 12, but the psalmist speaks of that's the basis for these words are the basis for that song. When I first read that, I wasn't that familiar with Psalm 148. And I thought to myself, That's some strange lyrics. You know, when you get to the, you praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all the deeps. But it just shows us his sovereignty over all his creation. Everything owes praise to our God. Everything. He may not get it from everything, but everything owes praise to God. And so, just goes through this myriad of things there in Psalm 148. But then it comes down to the end. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him. Psalm 150. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise, praise, praise. So we think about all that the Psalms contain. Some of these Psalms, like Psalm 40 and several others, speaks of a new song. A new song. Sing a new song. The only ones that can do that is one that is a new creature in Christ, right? I know we're talking about Old Testament. They were talking about the Psalms back then. But even then, unless someone had the Spirit of God in them, they wouldn't have a desire to praise him. And so if we're going to sing that new song, we have to be a new creature in Christ with a new heart and a new desire to please him. We encountered a word, Selah, didn't we? Selah. Several times you'll encounter that as you're reading through a psalm. Selah. What does it mean? Yeah. Pause and consider. In other words, don't just rush through it. Think about what you just read. Maybe there ought to be a Selah after every verse. Mentally, we could do that. There were times, you know, that was a musical notation. And so in the way the song would be constructed, it made sense for the music to cease. Added to the impact of the message of the song. But for our reading, I hope that we're pausing and considering what we've read. Selah is given to us in so many ways for that. And now in conclusion, Psalm 90 verse 12, the verse that kind of, to me, kind of sums up the Psalms, the value of the Psalms. Psalm 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Have we learned much from the Psalms? I hope we have. That word, teach us to number our days, it's kind of like what Paul said in Romans 8 when he said, for I reckon. In other words, we're to pause and think about what we know. When the psalm said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Think about the experiences you've had in life. The psalms remind you a great deal about the experiences that you've lived, what you can expect to experience in certain circumstances. Teach us to number our days. Think about it. Reckon them up. Think about what we've learned. Apply what we know to the days ahead, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So that the idea is that we might grow. As we experience these things, as we find the Lord faithful, as we build confidence in the Lord, as we learn his word, reckon that up. Keep it in mind. Grow in wisdom so that we can apply our hearts to what we're facing today and tomorrow and the next day, that we might walk according to wisdom. That's the value of these Psalms, so that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, I know Peter said, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and certainly that's what we want to do. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. After Psalm 90, Psalm 91, I won't take the time to read it, but Psalm 91 would be a good psalm for us to read occasionally, just from time to time, unless you've really committed to memory what it teaches and just think about it. But it teaches us, reminds us, teaches us of God's love and of our security in Him. And like Sister Nancy said, there's times when we need that encouragement. There's times when we need that reminder. There are plenty of places to go. I just thought I'd give you one in case you didn't have any in mind. But if you ever need to be reminded, now I know we run to the Psalm 23 a lot of times, and that's a good place to go, isn't it? Psalm 91 is also good to remind us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we feel weak, isn't it wonderful to think about our Almighty God? What a blessing we have. What a blessing He's given us in His Word. So as we close out our study of the Psalms, there's plenty more for us to study, to seek out, to understand in His Word. May God bless you. It's our prayer. Any other comments?
You did a good job.